بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah Almighty. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And we ask Allah Almighty, at this moment, from this blessed gathering, to give victory to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, and to destroy the Zionist Israelis and the enemies of Islam. Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And as you're all aware, that I have been speaking about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for tonight, as a special night, and from the situation that we face and we witness that's taking place on our Muslim brothers and sisters in a moment where we are sheltered under very comfortable and luxury roofs that are sheltered by bombs and the helicopters and the air planes of the enemies of Islam, destroying them and destroying their belief. And I mentioned last week, this is not a war on the Palestinians and not a war on the people of Gaza, but this is the war on every Muslim that says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is a war on every single one of us, includes every single one of us. So this is a war on every Muslim, whether that lives in Gaza or lives outside Gaza. We need to understand and comprehend that. And I chose today's topic for the need of speaking about today's topic, especially Muslims who grew up in the West do lack knowledge of the importance of Bayt al-Maqdis and Masjid al-Aqsa. And Bayt al-Maqdis is what we know as Jerusalem. And Masjid al-Aqsa is the holy mosque of Aqsa, which is inside the city of Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. And Bayt al-Maqdis, and the situation of Bayt al-Maqdis, it's not a concern that every Palestinian must carry. Nor it is a concern for every Arab that must carry. But it is a concern for every Muslim who is part of the nation of Islam and says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, must carry the concern of Bayt al-Maqdis and Masjid al-Aqsa. Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, it's part of our creed. It's part of our aqidah. It's part of our faith. It's part of our iman. Therefore, it's part of our life. It's part of our concepts of life. And it's part of our jihad. And it's part of every single moment and concern of every single Muslim. But rarely and little that many Muslims think about that. So Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, it's not the capital city of Israel, and it's not the capital city just to the Palestinians. But Bayt al-Maqdis is the holy city for every Muslim. The same as we have Mecca, then Medina, then Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis, my brothers and sisters, carries great attributes and carries great qualities and carries great specialties that we need to know. And inshallah, this is what we'll be addressing in tonight's lesson, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the tawfiq. Bayt al-Maqdis, my brothers and sisters, it's one of, if not, it's one of the oldest cities in the world. That's if it's not the oldest city in the world. Bayt al-Maqdis, Damascus, those cities are one of the oldest cities in the world. They say Bayt al-Maqdis is over 5,000 years old before birth of Christ. So it's 5,000 years before birth of Christ, before BC. And Bayt al-Maqdis was firstly settled by Arabs. It was first settled by Arabs. Al-Kan'aniyin, as they are known to be the Canaanites. Bayt al-Maqdis was settled by an Arab tribe by the name of Al-Kan'aniyin. And they weren't Muslims. Obviously they had this concept of believing in one God, but they did not have the proper aqidah and the proper belief and the proper creed of Islam. And when they settled in Bayt al-Maqdis, they named it Urshalim, which is the same term that's been used by the Jews, even in the Old Testament, has been used 680 times, Urshalim. And the interpretation of Urshalim, some scholars say it means the sacred place, and other scholars say the place of peace. Because the head and the leader of the people of Canaan, the Canaanites, he was a man of peace. He was a man of peace, and he was known to be a man that always called to peace and tolerance. And they named that city after him as a man of peace. Then down the many years and centuries that come after that, it was later named as Ilya. Ilya, the place of God. Ilya means the place of God. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at his time when he used to speak about Bayt al-Maqdis, he used to refer to it as Ilya. Until the victory and the opening came on the hand of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he entered Bayt al-Maqdis, Ilya at that time, and the priests and the religious figures of Bayt al-Maqdis would refuse to hand over the keys to anyone except the leader of the Muslims. And at that time there was a leader that every Muslim should be and is proud of, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He traveled from Medina all the way to Ilya at that time, which what we know these days is Bayt al-Maqdis. And he was coming, he was traveling radiallahu ta'ala anhu, arriving to Bayt al-Maqdis, carrying his shoes on his shoulder and walking with the camel, and on above of the camel, on the back of that camel, it was the slave of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went and traveled from Medina, he went from Medina to Damascus to see the great openings of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum there. And then he went from Damascus, he went to Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem. And he went with one camel and one slave. One camel and one slave. Where are the Muslim leaders these days with one camel and one slave? You want an opening? Look at this leader, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with one camel and one slave. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu will say to that slave, if I ride all the way, I have oppressed you. And if you ride all the way, you've oppressed me. So what's the solution? I ride halfway, you ride the other half. Subhanallah, you are the leader of the Muslims. Umar at that time was the greatest leader on the surface of this earth. And he deserves to be one. When he tells his slave, you ride halfway, I ride the other half. The slave obviously refused. Umar said, this is the justice. That's how it happens. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived to Damascus, he saw a different appearance on the companions. Damascus was a lot more civilized and a lot more advanced than Mecca and Medina. So they had a lot more of the advanced materials and the worldly life things. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived, he arrived with a garment that had over 18 holes. A garment with over 18 holes. Like the leaders these days, they change their garments 18 times a day. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a garment with 18 holes. And when he arrived at Damascus, the companions looked at the figure of Umar, a garment with 18 holes, a very old camel with an ordinary slave. They said, "Oh Umar, you are going to face and you are going to meet the leaders of different nations. At least look better, change your clothes, have a nice horse and go down." Umar refused. A companion from here, a believer from there, a general from here trying to force Umar to change his appearance. At the end, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted. And he put on this new garment and went on the back of this new horse. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to feel some changes in his heart. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu went off the back of the horse, grabbed stones and started to stone and throw at those companions and believers and generals and Muslims who advised him to change his condition. And he said, "Nahnu qawmun a'izza. أعزنا الله بالإسلام فمن ابتغى العزة بغير الإسلام أذله الله." And I say this word to every single Muslim. The words of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, "We are people that have been honored through Islam. And if we want to seek an honor from anywhere beside Islam, Allah will disgrace us. If we seek an honor beside the path of Allah, Allah will disgrace us. If we seek a victory beside the path of Allah, Allah will disgrace us. If we seek a path of success beside the path of Allah, Allah will disgrace us." And I guess this statement alone of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has many answers to many of the questions that's in the head of many of the Muslims. Our honor, our respect, our izzah will never ever come through anything else except Islam. And from anywhere else except Allah Azza wa Jal. And let us have all the money of this world, and the number of people of this world, and the number of military weapons of this world, and whatever we have, we would never be honored, we would never be victorious, and would never be respected only through the path of Islam. And this is the statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. نحن قوم أعزاء. We are people with honor. أعزنا الله بالإسلام. Allah had honored us through Islam. فمن ابتغى العزة بغير الإسلام أذله الله. And who shall seek an honor beside Islam, Allah will disgrace him. Allah will humiliate him. Allah will destroy him. So this is where our honor. This is where our honor. And I say that to every Muslim. Our honor is with Allah. Through Islam, by following the Quran and the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the true leader, that every single Muslim leader should look up to Umar and wish that if they're just a hair in the body of, on the body of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then put his old garment on and walk with his old camel with his ordinary slave. And when he arrived to Ilyat Bayt al-Maqdis, it was the turn of Umar walking on the ground and the slave on the back of that camel. Obviously the slave has a bit of sense. He said, "Oh Umar, you ride and let me walk. At least when the people of Ilyat and their leaders and their priests and their religious figures see you, at least they know that you are the leader by sitting on the back of that camel, not me." Umar said, "This is the haqq. It's your right. You ride and I walk." And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued walking until he arrived to the gate of Bayt al-Maqdis, Ilyat, Jerusalem. And he was walking and the slave was on the back of the camel. Which leader would think anywhere near this? When our leaders start thinking somewhere close to this, that's when you start having some hopes in them. But it's too far away now. Way too far away. And we ask Allah to guide them. We ask Allah to guide them. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu will arrive. And the leaders, and there were Christian leaders, the Christian leaders were waiting for the Muslim leader. When they saw him from far, with this description, the description that's been described to them, they handed the keys over to Umar. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went. He went to Masjid al-Aqsa. And Masjid al-Aqsa was built way before then. And we'll hear when Masjid al-Aqsa was built. And what was Masjid al-Aqsa used at that time? So he could know the qualities of the non-believers towards Islam. But when you look the Muslims towards the non-believers, it's totally different. They talk about integrating and they talk about coexistence and they talk about tolerance. Wallahi, no one tolerated others as much as Islam. And no one respected others as much as Islam. And no one integrated with others as much as Muslims. But this is all a fake history they all want to come up with. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived to Bayt al-Maqdis, went to Masjid al-Aqsa. You know what Masjid al-Aqsa was used then? It was used as a tip. A place of rubbish. A place of trash. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu will start to clean up that Masjid al-Aqsa. And there where Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu will pray. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made a treaty between him and the Christians that were living in Bayt al-Maqdis. And he gave them the full freedom. The full freedom for them to practice their religion as long as they do not expose it out. They're allowed to do whatever they want. But do not expose it. Do whatever you want. You've got the freedom. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also changed history. He changed it from the name of Ilya to Bayt al-Maqdis. And Bayt al-Maqdis is the sacred house. It's the sacred house. Once again, the first people to settle in Bayt al-Maqdis were the Arab. So this claim that the Jews or the Israelis, that the claim that were the first settlers of Bayt al-Maqdis is not a true claim. But the first people to settle in Bayt al-Maqdis were the Arab. And then later on it was Ibrahim alayhi salam who was part of that. And then Bani Israel came. And we'll talk about that history inshaAllah. Bayt al-Maqdis. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu changed its name from Ilya to Bayt al-Maqdis and it became history. And Bayt al-Maqdis now became part of the Islamic State. Part of it. A part that does not break. And it was under the Amawiyin until the time of the Abbasiyin. When there started to become a disagreement over the Khilafah and the chairs and the positions. As many of the Muslim world now, they are too occupied. Who is the next president? Who is the next prime minister? Or who is the king? Who is the next prince? They had that khilaf. They had that disagreement between them. Until the Christians took over Bayt al-Maqdis. At one of the stage. At one of the times and eras, Bayt al-Maqdis was taken in 1099 BC. 100 years after that or less, it was Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahimahullah, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used again to take and throw out the tyranny and the injustice of the Christians that were taking over Bayt al-Maqdis. When the Christians took over Bayt al-Maqdis, let us compare between when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took Bayt al-Maqdis, what he gave to the Christians, he gave them the full freedom for them to practice their religion. 6 centuries after that, the Christians came and took Bayt al-Maqdis. What did they do? Did they do what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did to the Christians? They done the same to the Muslims? In one day, my brothers and sisters, they slaughtered 70,000 Muslims who lived in Bayt al-Maqdis. Is this the tolerance that you talk about? Is the freedom that you talk about? Is this the justice that you speak about? And then you start waving the flags of the Muslims that are the most intolerant people. They are the ones who do not want to integrate. They are the ones who do not want to work with others. Look at your history. Your history is full of fear. Your history is full of blood. Your history is full of death and murder. And what we see now in Gaza is not new. That's a history. History of the kufr and the kuffar, full of it. And they make it out to be Muslims are the terrorists. Muslims are the ones who don't want to live with others. Have you looked into our history? Have you really searched? Look at your history before you look into ours. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave you full freedom. And then when he came again, you killed 70,000 Muslims. And not only that, you turned Masjid al-Aqsa into a place of trash. And he turned Masjid al-Aqsa into a storage for your weapons. Did Umar do that to your place of worship? Did Umar do that to any church in Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis? La wallah. And Umar refused to pray in one of their churches. Kanisat al-Qiyamah, one of the most well-known churches they have. Umar refused to pray in it. You know why? You know why? Umar refused to pray in it because he said, I'm afraid that the Muslims will think that this is a place for Muslims to pray in, so they'll come and take this church and demolish it. I'll leave it as a church. This is our history. A history full of justice, full of tolerance, full of respect, full of coexistence, working with others. But your history, a history that's full of terrorism, a history full of fear, a history full of bloodshed, a history full of corruption, injustice. This is Islam, Ikhwani. And then we come again. After less than a century, when Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah, that great warrior that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to conquer and take over Jerusalem, did Salah do with them what they did with the Muslims? By Allah, he did not. Allah opened Jerusalem on his hands. And he entered Jerusalem. And once again, he followed the sunnah of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He gave him their freedom. And he gave their worship. He gave them the freedom of worship. And after Salah ad-Din and Ayyubi, by half a century, once again, when the Muslims started to disagree with one another, the Bayt al-Maqdis was captured and taken and was conquered by non-believers. Then after that, and that was the last time before this time, at the time of the Ottomans, they took over Bayt al-Maqdis and stayed all the way to 1917. To 1917, when the British army took over Palestine, and by 1948, the British army started to leave, in return bringing Israelis and Jews into Palestine. By 1948, the Israeli government announced the Israeli state and announced that Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, is the capital city of Israel. And from then the Muslims are giving and taking and fighting and seeking every single honor, trying to free Palestine from the Jews. But they forgot one thing. You have the money and you have the weapons and you have the number. But there's one thing missing in your life. Is the izzah of Islam. Where is Islam in your life? نحن قومنا عزاء أعزنا الله بالإسلام فمن ابتغى العزة بغير الإسلام أذله الله. We are people that Allah had honored through Islam. And who shall seek an honor beside Islam, Allah will disgrace him. They had the weapons and they had the numbers. And they had the generals and they had the soldiers. But they forgot one thing, Islam. And because of that, they never succeeded. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. It's Allah azza wa jal's promise. Allah Azza wa Jal's promise, the one that fulfills his promise, that one day this Izzah will come. One day this Izzah will come. So Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis, which is the state, Bayt al-Maqdis, the city, and Masjid al-Aqsa is the mosque inside that city. What does that mean to us? It means a lot. It means a lot. It's part of Islam. A part that you can't cut off from Islam. It's part of our life. It's part of the Quran. It's part of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before him, the prophets and the messengers. The prophets and the messengers. The scholars disagree amongst each other who was the first to build Masjid al-Aqsa. There's one hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded for Masjid al-Haram, which is the one in Mecca, the Kaaba, to be built. Then the second mosque, and there was a question that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, which of the mosques was the first to be established? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Masjid al-Haram, which is the one in Mecca, the Kaaba. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, then what? He said, Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa was the second mosque to be established on the surface of this earth. They asked him, O Messenger of Allah, how long between the two? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, 40 years. So between the establishment of Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa is 40 years. Then who is the one that established that? Some scholars say it was the angels, and then Adam alayhi salam is the one that built it, and Adam himself is the one that built Masjid al-Aqsa, but majority of scholars say it was Ibrahim alayhi salam who built Masjid al-Haram, and then after him, Ya'qub built Masjid al-Aqsa. Regardless to that disagreement, but we know that Masjid al-Aqsa is the second mosque to be built for the sake of Allah. For who? For the sake of Allah. By who? By Muslims. Not by Christians, not by Jews, not by atheists, by Muslims, by prophets, by messengers, the fellow brothers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the prophets and the messengers. So Masjid al-Aqsa was built 40 years after Masjid al-Haram. This mosque means a lot to us. It's part of us. It's part of our Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that mosque in many verses in the Quran al-Kareem and indicates to it in many verses. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. A verse in the Quran al-Kareem that's part of us, part of our hearts, part of our memory, that can't be taken away from us in any way or form. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that carried his servant by night from Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Allah Azza wa says, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ, the one that we blessed around it. Masjid al-Aqsa is a blessed place, and what's around Masjid al-Aqsa is a blessed place. الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Why? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So we could show him from our verses. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is all the hearer and all the one, all seer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a purpose, ya ikhwani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carried the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. The first lesson that we learn from this verse, that Masjid al-Aqsa is part of us. Part of the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's part of our religion. It's part of our creed. Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis for a reason, to tell every Muslim that Masjid al-Aqsa is also your Qibla. Masjid al-Aqsa is also a holy place for you. Masjid al-Aqsa is a sacred place for you that you need to have the concerns and the worries of. Masjid al-Aqsa. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing Masjid al-Aqsa when he was in Mecca. He was facing Masjid al-Aqsa during his prayer as a Qibla. As Masjid al-Aqsa is the first Qibla for the Muslims. The first qibla for the Muslims, not only the Muslims, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the Muslims before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the qibla of all the prophets and messengers. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received his revelation from Allah azza wa jal in Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to pray towards Bayt al-Maqdis. And the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he used to stand towards Masjid al-Aqsa and the Kaaba in front of him. And he could do that because he's in Mecca. But when the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina, now Medina is between Mecca and Bayt al-Maqdis. So he either faces north or south. North to Bayt al-Maqdis or south to Mecca. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ for 18 months in Medina facing Bayt al-Maqdis. What does that tell us? It's part of us, ikhwani. Part of our salah. The salah that's part of our life that we pray towards the qibla. The Kaaba, this is also a qibla that belongs to us. Masjid al-Aqsa, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced Masjid al-Aqsa for 18 months even after the migration. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to turn around and he started to face Mecca. Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa, a holy mosque. Named as al-Aqsa, the far one. Al-Aqsa means the furthest or the far one. Why? Because it's far away from Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's thousands of kilometers away from there. We're between Mecca and Medina only 400 kilometers. And that's why it was named Masjid al-Aqsa. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not permit anyone to travel to any mosque except to three mosques. لا تشد الرحال إلا لثلاثة مساجد. That traveling is not permitted for the sake of worship except to three mosques. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my mosque, which is Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Masjid al-Haram, the one in Mecca, wa Masjid al-Aqsa. See, Masjid al-Aqsa had a place like Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masjid al-Aqsa. He also says that a prayer in my mosque, which is Masjid al-Nabi in Medina, a prayer is equivalent to 1,000 prayers. And a prayer in Masjid al-Haram is equivalent to 100,000 prayers. And a prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa is equivalent to 500 prayers. So praying at Masjid al-Aqsa is not praying like any other mosque. But Masjid al-Aqsa, a prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa is equivalent to 500 prayers at any other mosque. See how great this place is? It's part of us, ikhwani. It's part of our faith. It's part of our creed. It's part of our religion. It's part of our iman. It's part of our aqidah. And this is something we need to keep in mind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wa sallam, he mentions many virtues about Masjid al-Aqsa. And he mentions many virtues about Bilad al-Sham, which is back then used to be considered Lebanon, Syria, Jordan and Palestine. This is all called Bilad al-Sham. The Muslims were all one. But the enemies of Islam came and started to chop us and divide us into pieces. So they know with the unity of the Muslims and they get together of the Muslims, they know there's no one can stand in front of them. And that's why they divided the nation of the Arab by themselves into 22 nations. Sham alone was divided into six. But the reality, there's not such thing called I'm a Lebanese and you're a Syrian, I'm Palestinian, you're Jordanian. We're all Bilad al-Sham. And there's no difference between a Sham and Iraq and Bilad al-Hijaz. We're all Muslims. We're all those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates in many, many verses about the blessings of Masjid al-Aqsa and the Bilad al-Sham, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. He mentions in many verses about Masjid al-Aqsa, the one that we had blessed. The one we had blessed, a place of blessings. Masjid al-Aqsa is a place of blessings. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also says, that the gatherings of the Muslims, innahi after will be Bilad al-Sham Bayt al-Maqdis. And when the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked him, O Messenger of Allah, where do we go during the time of fitna? The time of fitna and affliction. Where do we go? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Alaykum bi Bayt al-Maqdis." Go to Bayt al-Maqdis. Go to Bayt al-Maqdis. Go to Bayt al-Maqdis. As he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be in my nation to the day of judgment, a group from my nation fighting for the truth. Do not fear no one but Allah. They said, "O Messenger of Allah, where are they?" He said, "In Bayt al-Maqdis and around Bayt al-Maqdis, and inshallah they're in Gaza too." There's a group from my nation fighting for the haq, fear no one but Allah, to the day of judgment. "O Messenger of Allah, where are they?" He said, "They're in Bayt al-Maqdis and around Bayt al-Maqdis." They're in Bayt al-Maqdis and around Bayt al-Maqdis. This means a lot to Ikhwani. This is a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for the Muslims just before their day of judgment. A place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared for the believers. Bayt al-Maqdis. The place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy Antichrist. Allah azza wa jalla will destroy Ad-Dajjal on the hands of Isa around Bayt al-Maqdis. And Allah will destroy Ya'juj and Ma'juj around Bayt al-Maqdis. And Isa will be living in Bayt al-Maqdis. So it's part of us, Ikhwani. Part of us. Not just a geographical lesson that we need to know, or a history lesson that we need to understand. It's a religious lesson that we need to know. It's part of us, Ikhwan. Keeping in mind that Bayt al-Maqdis is the place of descendants of many of the prophets and messengers. The majority of prophets and messengers descended and came down to Bayt al-Maqdis. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, there is not even one place, one spot in Masjid al-Aqsa that a prophet did not bow or prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the thousands and thousands and maybe tens of thousands of the prophets and messengers prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa. Prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa. And what's Masjid al-Aqsa? Straight away when you say Masjid al-Aqsa, the first thing that comes to you is that golden dome. That's not Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is in front of it. And this is one of the plans and the plottings of the enemies of Islam to make us think that this is Bayt al-Maqdis. So they destroy Bayt al-Maqdis and keep the rock of the dome up there. And people still think that Masjid al-Aqsa is still up there. That's not Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis is in front of it. An old building. An old building that you probably never recognize. That's Masjid al-Aqsa. That's the rock, that's the dome of the rock. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the buraq, and he ascended to Allah azza wa jalla. And that dome did not ascend. And it's not above the ground. But that dome has some virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left within it. But there's nothing more than that. People make a lot of stories above the ground and it's flying and this and that. None of this is true. And that dome was in the air, exposed, until at the time, if Walid ibn Abdul Malik, he came and built that dome above it. So Masjid al-Aqsa is a mosque in front of it. This is something you need to know and understand, and make sure that your friends and your family know and understand, and make sure that your kids grow up understanding this. Because they want us to think this way. Because right now they're working so hard to demolish that place, and they want it to fall, and we still see the Dome of the Rock still up there, Masjid al-Aqsa. Nothing happened to it. That's not Masjid al-Aqsa. That's the Dome of the Rock. Also means something to us. But Masjid al-Aqsa is the most important part. So do not forget Masjid al-Aqsa. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that when Sulaiman alayhi salam, when Sulaiman alayhi salam rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he rebuilt Bayt al-Maqdis, afwan, when Sulaiman alayhi salam, the son of Dawood, when he rebuilt Bayt al-Maqdis, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for three things. He asked Allah azza wa jal that whatever judgment Sulaiman makes is the judgment of Allah. So Allah azza wa jal gave it to him. And he asked Allah, "O Allah, do not give any kingdom or wealth to anyone after me. Do not give any greater kingdom or wealth to anyone after me." And Allah Azza wa Jal accepted that from him. And then he said, "O Allah, anyone that comes to this mosque that wants to pray in this mosque, forgive him and wipe his sins away from him." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I ask Allah that that's also given to him." In other words, my brothers and sisters, anyone that goes to Masjid al-Aqsa for the sake of a prayer in that masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him and Allah azza wa jal wipes his sins away from him. A dua that Sulaiman asked Allah, Allah gave him two, and this one the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I ask Allah that Allah had given it to Sulaiman. There are many things, my brothers, many things that we could talk about Masjid al-Aqsa, many virtues. The scholars put them into books. Many verses that talk about Masjid al-Aqsa or indicate to the Masjid al-Aqsa. And I know time does not allow us, but I want you to come out of this lesson tonight and understand that Masjid al-Aqsa is part of you. And you are part of it. Part of Islam. And Islam is part of it. Part of the Quran. And the Quran is part of it. Part of the Sunnah. And the Sunnah is part of it. Part of every single Muslim. It's ours and belongs to us. And we're going to continue fighting for it to the day of judgment until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. We're going to continue fighting for it. And we're going to continue resist for the sake of Allah. Because this place is for us. And it belongs to every Muslim. It's a aqidah, ya akhwani. It's a creed. It's a belief that we need to understand and be aware of. And we need to make our children understand and be aware of. This is something that I want you to take with you. Remember it. Think about it. And go. Go and start reading more on it. Read a lot on Masjid al-Haram, which I do encourage you to read even more. We'll read a lot on Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I encourage you to read even more. But you also need to read more on Masjid al-Aqsa, because this is also part of you, and it's part of us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to make us from those who listen here, and act upon what they listen here. Ikhwani, I also remind you, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever fasts the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives a past sin. Referring to minor sins, not major sins. Major sins, nothing will wipe it away except your repentance to Allah azza wa jal. When is day of Ashura? It's after tomorrow, on Wednesday. Wednesday is the day of Ashura. Wednesday is the day of Ashura. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard that the Jews were fasting the day of Ashura, they said that they fasting that day because it's the day that Allah saved Musa alayhi salam from the tyrants and the oppression of Fir'aun. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِذَلِكَ نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْهُمْ. We have more rights to Musa than them. Musa is part of us, we are part of him. They claim they are part of him. Wallahi, if Musa sees him, he'll be the first one to be innocent from them. Musa alayhi salam, we have more rights over Musa, Musa has more rights over us. We are part of him and he's part of us. He's from our nation and we are from his nation. Alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have more rights over that than them. We have more rights for Musa than them. So the Prophet Muhammad SAW started to fast Ashura, and he said, if Allah keeps me alive, I'll also fast Tasu'a, which is the day before it. So my brothers, if you can fast tomorrow and after tomorrow, that's good. If you can only fast one day, then fast after tomorrow. So if you could fast the 9th and the 10th of Muharram, then do so. If you could only fast one, then fast the 9th. Fast the 10th. Fast the 10th. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When is the 10th of Muharram? After tomorrow, Wednesday. What's that day called? Ashura. What's the virtue? That if you fast it, Allah azza wa jal wipes a sinful, 1 year full of sins. So remind yourself and remind others. Also, ikhwani, I remind you, do not forget your Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza. Think about them. Have the concerns, and we are still collecting donations. Last week we collected $7,000, and through the week we collected another 1,000 something. We send it to them, and if today, inshallah, ikhwan, if you want to contribute more, here are the brothers are collecting for them, for the sake of Allah, to send to them. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everything we collect will be a protection for them, and inshallah will be a protection for every Muslim around the world. So inshallah, this is a collection for the people of Gaza. And lastly, ikhwani, as you all know, we established in the Islamic College a 2-year diploma Sharia course covering 22 modules. and three subjects every term, four terms a year, and 3 hours a week. For those who want to increase their knowledge, know more about Islam in an intense, professional way, then Sydney Islamic College U1, starting in 2 weeks. Register with us. There's the registration papers outside, and you could have more details on Sydney Islamic College for both brothers and sisters. So I do encourage you to sacrifice 3 hours a week, starting inshallah in 2 weeks from now on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 9:30 at the UMA Center, covering 22 modules in 2 years. You'll learn a lot, benefit a lot, and inshallah the best amongst you are those who learn and teach. So inshallah you will learn and teach. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you all, and inshallah we'll see you on Thursday.